Good night. It's good to see everyone here this afternoon, and hope that you gained something from our lesson today. If you would, be turning in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11 is where we'll be focusing our thoughts on for this afternoon. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. I want to talk this morning or talk this afternoon about success. Success, I think, is something that all of us want to one degree or another. But what is success? Success basically is the attainment of a desired goal or end. And depending upon the person, success can be different things. For example, for the businessman, success may be the accumulation of wealth and the growth of the business. For the politician, and we're going to be hearing a lot of this over the next few months, success would be the attainment of whatever position that they are, an office that they are running for. It may be, if you're an entertainer, that you want great fame and you want great success and to be well known for your talents. Or it may simply be that you want certain honors that would tell others that you have achieved a certain status. So success then is something, again, I think that many of us, to one degree or another, depending upon what your goals are, that we all want to achieve. We want our children to have success. And again, the idea that whatever goals they have in mind, as long as they are proper and right, that they would achieve those goals. How do we obtain success? Well, again, it kind of depends upon what you're trying to achieve. To obtain success may be that you have to have a certain level of education, that you go and you study and you gain as much as you can in knowledge to that applies to whatever area that you're striving to be successful in. It may mean that you have to develop certain skills that you would have to then be able to apply. Maybe you're an athlete, and therefore you're going to practice hard, and you're going to do those things and develop in such a way that you are the best in your field. It may be that you have to develop certain contacts. A salesman, for example, may have to go out and he has to meet people and he has to have an influence over them. They might buy his product. And so they then develop these connections that they can then network and gain more to so that they might, again, be successful. But we as Christians also need to be successful. And we need sometimes to be successful, or we ought to be successful, in a way that the world perhaps never even thinks about. And that's what we're going to be discussing this afternoon, is how we as Christians can obtain or achieve success. And what we're going to be looking at this afternoon, as we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, we're going to be looking at three F's that will help us be successful as Christians. And so let's go over there and look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. Here Paul is writing to this young man, this young preacher, and he's trying to give him advice on the things that he has to deal with. And I believe here he's telling him how he can be successful in the work that he has to do and in life in general. And the first F that we find here as we begin reading, he says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things." So our first step in being successful is to flee. What do you mean to flee? Well, it seems to mean you need to run away. Now, a lot of people may think, well, now, wait a minute. If you're going to run away, that kind of doesn't that kind of suggest that you weren't successful in what you were doing? But notice what he says here, that he is to flee these things. Well, what's he talking about there? Well, in the immediate context, if we go back into earlier into chapter 6, there's two possibilities, one for sure and the other one possible. Let's talk about the possible one first. Going back in chapter 6 to verse 3, he says, "If anyone teaches otherwise," and he just talked about those who are benefiting and exhorting others in their work for the Lord. He says, "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, for which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who supposing that godliness is a means of gain," and some versions add, "from such withdraw yourself." So then, who are we to flee, or what are we to flee from? Those individuals who in their teaching and in their strife in their striving to be on top, if you will, bring about a corrupt doctrine. Those who really don't have in mind achieving what God desires, but more what they can gain for themselves. In fact, he speaks of those who think godliness is a means of gain. He says you need to flee those individuals. But he also says, again, going back into the early part of the chapter, he then talks about those who would try to use wealth to find their success. In fact, they become obsessed with wealth. And he says in verse 10, for example, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, from which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so Paul is telling Timothy here that if you allow yourselves to become so obsessed with material things, the only thing that has in store for you, he says, are these many sorrows. Look back into to verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So he's telling Timothy, flee those things that are going to bring sorrow to you. And in this case, he says it's the love of material things. It's the love of money. And he says then, if you are going to be successful, run away. Go the opposite direction of what you find there. Get away from these things. But you know, the Bible also tells us, the New Testament tells us, there's some other things that we must flee from. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, Paul says to flee sexual immorality. And I have to tell you, that's hard these days. Because just about everywhere you go in this society, sexual immorality is thrown up in your face. So that it's hard to run away from it. You see it on the TVs, you see it in the movies, you listen to it in the songs that are being written today. You see it on the internet. Everywhere you go, this is being thrown in your face. And not only is it being thrown in your face, we are being told it is acceptable to live however you want in your sexual life. And so to flee from it can be rather difficult. But Paul says we are to do that. That we are to run away from those things that might draw us into that lifestyle, that would corrupt those things of a spiritual nature and cause us to turn away from God. We also find, and I think I just lost my mic here. We also find in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14 that he tells us that we are to flee idolatry. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's fine today. We don't have idols around here. You know, we're not Buddhist. We're not other religions that have statues and things that we go and we kiss and we bow down to and we throw our coins before and all these things. So we say idolatry is not a problem for us. But let's remember Colossians 3 verse 5, which says covetousness is idolatry. And again, this is something almost in our society that's difficult to get away from. Because everybody is telling us that true success is that you get as much as you can get in this life. Remember seeing the bumper sticker that said, he who dies with the most toys wins. Well, that's the way a lot of people live. It's that the more I can obtain, then I find then that I am going to be successful. And the fact is, I'm going to put all of my efforts and all of my strength and all of my attention to the getting of things. And I let that get in the way of my service to God. At that point, it's become an idol. That you have taken something, in this case material things, and you've placed them before God. Remember over in Luke chapter 18, we had the story of the rich young ruler, who he came to Jesus and he asked, what must I do to obtain eternal life? And Jesus said, you know, basically, you know what it is, you tell me. Well, he listed off some of these commands, the commandments. And then Jesus said, well, there's one thing that you lack. Take all that you have and give it to the poor. Remember what happened to that young man. It says that he went away sorrowfully. Why? Because he could not give up that very thing that was keeping him from his relationship with God. He had these material things. He was unwilling to give them up. And then separated him from God. Those material things, that great wealth that he had, became his idol. But we are to flee from idolatry, whatever it might be. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, Paul there, again speaking to Timothy in the second letter, says to flee also youthful lust. And this could encompass a number of things, not only sexual immorality, but anything in which young people, and I think honestly we could say not doesn't even apply just to young people, but that there are things that we allow to get in the way so that, again, we are drawn away from God because of some inordinate desire from something of a physical nature. All these things that we've been talking about this far are very attractive to the outward man. Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, speaking of Moses, that he was willing to give up the passing pleasures of sin. Well, the thing is, sin can be very pleasurable to the outward man. But we need to understand that those things that can be outward attractive can to the outward man can destroy the inward man. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, Peter says, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. So it is that many times the things that we are to run away from, those things that may seem the most attractive to us, are the things that give us the greatest harm. But you know, unfortunately, we have, in our world and in our society, this idea that, you know, we can play with fire and not get burned. That, you know, well, we can go so far toward these things that will bring us harm and really not be hurt by them. But can you imagine somebody going into a burning house and sitting down and, you know, having dinner and just living life as normal with the fire all around them, and you think that they're not going to be harmed by that? But some people act that way. Now somehow we can go in among those into those areas and among those activities that would draw us away from God and think that we're not going to be hurt. No, Paul says, flee, run away from those things. Let's remember the example of Joseph and Potiphar's wife in Genesis chapter 39. Potiphar's wife had been trying to get Joseph to come into her bed, and he refused and refused. Till finally she grabbed hold of him, and what did he do? It says he ran away and left his coat behind. He was so quick to get away from her that he left his coat behind, and that's the way we need to be with many things that would harm us in life. So to be successful as a Christian, we need to learn to flee, to run away when it's important. Well, what else does Paul tell Timothy here? Again, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, he says that we are to follow. First, we're to flee, but then he says we're to follow. Actually, the King James Version says that we are to pursue. But that just simply means that we are to follow after something. Thayer says of this word is to seek after eagerly, earnestly endeavor to acquire. We're not just talking about a casual strolling down the street and there's somebody ahead of us and just wherever they happen to be going, we're going the same way. No, we're talking about, like you see in the cop movies, where you have the cops in their car and they're chasing the bad guy and they're trying to catch them. It's a hot pursuit going on here. Well, that's what he says here, that we are to follow. But you, O man of God, flee these things and follow or pursue. And then he gives a list here. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Righteousness, that is being right or just before God and man. Look over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I want us to look at beginning in verse 8. Paul writes, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So it is our desire to do that which is pleasing. It is our desire to follow after those things that will make us approved before God, that will give us a sense of being right in the sight of God and in man. But he says we are also to pursue, or we are to follow, godliness. That just simply means, I think, having a God-centered life in thought and in action. That is, in everything that we do, we think about our relationship with God, what God desires of us, And we keep him the focus to motivate us in the things that we do. He says, follow that line. Follow that desire to be that type of person. He says that we are to follow faith. Well, faith can be thought of several ways. It can be a trust, obviously, but it can also be being trustworthy. That we are a person who has a persuasion and has the trust to do what God tells us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that in order to be pleasing to God, we have to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those that seek Him. That is, that we understand that God has great things in store for us and that He is able to accomplish those things if we will truly just trust Him and follow Him in all that we do. He says that we are to follow after love. That is, benevolence toward all. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, passage that we've often looked at, list all the characteristics that love has, and that we then are to incorporate that into our character. We are to incorporate those things into our very being so that others will see it in us. He speaks of following after patience, steadfastness, long-suffering, understanding that life is not going to be simple, that life really is going to be difficult, and that we have to then be steadfast. We have to be long-suffering, putting up with those things that would draw us away and following after the promises and the hope that God has set before us. And then he also speaks of gentleness, that is being kind, being meek toward others. And notice again in these things that these are things that don't look to the outward man. In fact, unlike the things which we are to flee, which destroy the soul, the things that we are to follow focus on the inward man, which is eternal. You know, unfortunately, so many people in their strife or in their longing for success and in their endeavor to be successful never realize that there's going to come a point when their success means absolutely nothing. It was mentioned this morning talking about in Adam's study, he talked about Ecclesiastes, that there are people live a life that is basically futile. That is, that they strive for great success, but it comes a point when they leave this life and everything that they've achieved is for naught. It's going to be left to somebody else. But the true success comes to those who carry their success into the next life. And that's what we get when we focus upon the things that God wants us to focus on, that He wants us to follow after. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. Paul states that while his outward man, that is his physical body, is perishing, his inward man is being renewed day by day. And the same is true for us, that we can look at our lives, we grow older, we become more infirm, we deal with various health issues, and we know one day, unless the Lord comes first, we're going to die. But we need to understand that our soul continues on. And it is that soul then that we will stand before God with, so that we then are going to be judged. And how should that happen? Or what would we hope there? We would hope that, we would be found righteous before God. We must then focus on the inward man and follow those things that will strengthen the inward man. Well, let's look at the next F in our strive for success. He says, going into verse 12, that we are to fight the good fight. So that is that we are to flee certain things, that we are to follow after other things, and we are to fight, he says here. The imagery that is presented here is that of an athletic competition in which we are to struggle and contend with an adversary. You know, you think about the Olympic Games or think about some of the other athletic things that we see where it may be a boxing match, it may be a wrestling match, it may be a football game, it may be just a race that you run against somebody else. It is that we then are to put forth the effort to win that race. It requires great zeal and endurance to gain the victory. But actually, the fight that we are in, the fight that we have to struggle through, is more than just a game. Because we have a real adversary that seeks not just to win a contest, but actually seeks to destroy us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Peter speaks of our adversary, the devil, and it says he's going about seeking whom he can devour. That is, that he wants to destroy those individuals. He wants to destroy their souls. And so we're in this contest with him. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following. There Paul speaks of this battle that we are in against the devil and his army. And he says that we need to be prepared for that, because he says the devil has his tricks. He has his wiles. That is, he has the snares that he's going to try to entrap us. And so we have to be ready for this fight. In our fight, then, we must be disciplined. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Paul, again, alluding to this idea of a contest or the games, he says, "Do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." The idea of temperance there is that he is self-controlled there. He is one who maintains his level of training so that he might win. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, he says, "I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." So then, in our fight that we are to be involved in, we must exercise discipline. We must train ourselves. We must fix ourselves such that we are ready to do the battle. We must wear the proper armor, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. We're familiar with that passage. Won't take time to go look at it. But there it speaks of the spiritual armor that we are to wear in our fight against the devil and his army. It is there that we find that, again, we're not fighting a physical battle. We're not involved in a physical race. We're involved in a spiritual one, again, that touches the inward man. It is not really so concerned with the outward man. We must contend for the faith, Jude 3. That is, that in our fight of fighting the good fight, that we have to stand up for truth, that we have to listen to God's word, and we must defend God's word. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul twice speaks of being in defense of the gospel. That just wasn't something that Paul was involved in. That's something that we're all involved in. And so therefore we are to fight that we might present the truth and keep the truth before all people. We must fight the inward battle of flesh and spirit. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Paul says that we are to walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And though these are contrary one to the other, that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So then, we have a battle within ourselves. Remember Romans chapter 7? We've talked about this a number of times in different contexts, where Paul says there are things that he knows he should do and he doesn't do it. There are things that he knows that he shouldn't do, but he does them anyway. And he talks about this inward struggle that we all deal with. And he says here that we are to fight in that battle, to maintain who we are and do those things that God desires of us. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, we find that we must run the race that is set before us. Again, Adam, I referred to this passage this morning. But in Hebrews chapter 12, as the writer looks back at all those who struggled in life, who realized that this life was not all there was, but there is a better life to come, he says they are witnesses. They prove that it can be done. So he says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." That is, that we are to continue on and not to fall aside, that we are not to give up in the middle of the race, but continue on till we complete it. Well, How do you measure success? Again, we talked about this earlier in our lesson as we talked about the material world, about those who in this life are trying to find success in this life. They obtain the money that they desired. They gain the fame that they were looking for. They receive the honors that they worked so hard to get. Well, what about the Christian? How do we measure our success? Are we truly, how do we measure if we lived that successful life? Again, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life. When we reach the point when we understand what eternal life is and what we must do to obtain it, and we do those things, then we have become successful. Continue on reading. He says, To which you were also called and confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gave life to all things before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep his commands without spot, blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ appearing. When he returns and we are taken with him into our heavenly home, we have met our success. We have been successful as a Christian. Paul was successful. Let's look over at 2 Timothy chapter 4 as we bring our lesson to a close. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's begin reading in verse 7. Paul speaks of his victory, of his success. He says, for I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. It would be great if all of us could at one time, before we leave this earth, that we can say, I fought the good fight, and I ran the race, and I'm going to get the prize. So the question before all of us this afternoon is simply this. Are you living a successful life? Are you striving for success? Not in a worldly manner. Not after those things that would show to the world that you've done all the material things to be successful. But the kind of success that says God is pleased. And his angels are pleased. And therefore we find the reward that's been promised to us. I invite you this afternoon to consider these things. I invite you to examine your life, as all of us should do every day. Am I living to be successful? Am I doing those things that would make me successful as a Christian? And if so, then continue on. If you're not doing those things, if you're not striving for success, you need to think about what's in store if you don't do it. And we'd hope that there would be enough fear put into you that you would change your life. If you have a need of any kind of a spiritual nature, whether to become a child of God by expressing your faith and being obedient to his commands, or if you realize that, you know what, I need some help that I might be successful, we're here to help you in any way that we can. Would you come while we stand and sing?